From Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 and following. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was served him, I carried the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This can only be sadness of heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my ancestors' graves, lies waste and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We continue today our second week of our six-week journey through the Christ model of leadership. And once again, I think it would benefit us today to pause and discuss just a moment what it is that this word leadership tells us about our faith, about us as persons, as individuals, and as a community, and a need for that great virtue so much in our world today. I want to begin by quoting a few theologians and business and government leaders on their thoughts of leadership. John Maxwell, when talking about leadership, defines it in this way by telling us, I guess, what it is not. He says that when a wind comes, when a storm comes, the pessimist has this response. They complain about the wind. An optimist instead expects the winds to change, and a leader instead adjusts their sails. What a great imagery of how leaders respond to conflicts. It can apply to our family, our church, and certainly our nation and communities. According to Donald McGavern, he says leadership is action, not so much position. Dwight D. Eisenhower, former president of the United States, in general in World War II, described this. He said, "Leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it." It transitions them to embrace your vision of how to move your organization or your people together. Perhaps the briefest definition of leadership was given by another who said, "Leadership is influence." And wouldn't we be remiss if we didn't consider the great wisdom of a Chinese fortune cookie that once said this: "He who thinks he leads when no one else is following is just taking a walk." To be a leader, people should follow. We should inspire action in others. So once again, maybe you're questioning today, "Jody, why in worship, in the church, are we talking about leadership?" Well, you see, the greatest leader our world has ever known was our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever considered that Jesus spent the majority of his time not preaching to the multitudes, not being individually involved with one person at a time, but instead Jesus incorporated 12 individuals who he spent the majority of his time with, nurturing them, guiding them, helping them to lead and share his ministry beyond himself. You see the reciprocal impact when we embody leadership? We have the capacity to change the world for our gospel in God's glory. As we heard last week in the Good Book on Leadership, what the world needs, what our church needs more than anything else to transform our world is good, solid, biblical, God-centered leadership. Jesus embodied it and shared it with others. May we learn from his lesson and His guidance in our lives as we seek to lead this world more in His image. Last week, as we began this discussion on leadership, I shared with you on this Christ model of leadership that we began considering this acronym with the letter C by talking about communication, the importance of listening, the importance of not only listening in communication, but talking in a way that would be God-honoring with respect to others. And the most important aspect of communication is communicating with God in prayer to strengthen us to be His people. And today, as we continue our journey, the next letter of the Christ acronym is the H, and it reminds me of the important aspect of the virtue of humility. Humility, the word that in many ways is often misunderstood in our culture. Humility, or being humble, does not mean that we simply think less of ourselves, but rather it's a transition to think more of the others, to see the value in people around us, and to know that even in our greatness, humility is not considering our own goodness or greatness, but it's the realization of this, that we didn't get there by ourselves. We needed help. We needed strength. We needed encouragement of others. In the words of former Lieutenant Governor Amy Tuck, who once had a photo of a turtle on a fence post in her office, someone asked her, why was the turtle on the fence post in her office? Governor Tuck said this, it's a reminder to me that just as if you ever see a turtle, just news for y'all Tippecanoeans, if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you know it didn't get there by itself. And she said, that was a reminder to me to be humble, to stay humble, to not think less of ourselves, but to think more of others and who've contributed to our journey. That's the gift of humility. It's present in our scripture. It's present in our culture. And yes, believe it or not, it's present in our text today. Did you hear in this story how Nehemiah transitions? We heard last week that he described to us, he hinted at the end of chapter 1 that he was cupbearer to the king. And we must consider that Nehemiah was one who'd gone into bondage. This was not his homeland. He'd gone into bondage into a foreign land, and it would have been tempting if we were Nehemiah to rebel, to be unhappy about everything in a place where he didn't ask to be and he didn't sign up for, right? But instead of wallowing in himself, Nehemiah made this choice. He made the choice to bloom where he had been planted. He made his choice to serve the leader in that community, to treat him with respect, to embrace the good parts of his king and become a person of trust himself. And he rose to the highest position of any person of Israel in the land of Babylon. He respected, he humbled himself before the king. Even as the king asked him what was troubling him, Nehemiah said, long live the king. And do you hear how he said, before he began speaking to this person, his boss, the person of authority, the person of respect, Nehemiah said this, I was fearful. We see the humility in his behavior to know he needed a strength that only God could give him to speak with the leader in his midst. You see, that's the humility that we speak of, that we hear of in our scripture that Nehemiah practices to move his people forward in leadership. But not only do we hear about humility in scripture, it's becoming fad once again, even in the business world. Did you know that? A couple of years ago, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal titled this, the Wall Street Journal, it said the case for humble executives. And it described how headhunters, those seeking to employ people, are seeing the virtue of humility in a way they never had before. They saw that those for top positions who were humble, they listened better. They were willing to share the spotlight, and they were more coachable. Those are gifts of humility. Just 2 days ago, my friend John Lovern sent... We need to preach on John Lovern today, don't we, Price? My friend John Lovern, and relative of some of you, sent me an article from the New York Times. And it was titled, How to Be a CEO. And in that article, the writer interviewed some 500 CEOs, and he gathered together common core attributes of some of the greatest leaders in our land, in the business world, and one of the central virtues was this. It was humility, to know what they didn't know, a willingness to learn from others, and to know they didn't get there on their own. Friends, we see this virtue in our culture, in our church, and there's a hunger for it in our country. I read recently a book that celebrated humility as a virtue in our nation, how it was there for our founding fathers to trust in the strength and the grace from on high to make us a nation. It chronicled the life of Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Abigail Adams, James Madison, and Abraham Lincoln, and how humility was central to helping them move our nation forward. Friends, this is the gift of leadership that we are hungry for in our church, in our communities, and in our nation. A willingness to not think less of self, but more of others, and rely more on God's grace and strength for our life. In Scripture, we hear where God describes Moses with these words. In Numbers chapter 12, when hearing all the attributes of Moses... And many of us know how Moses was the reluctant leader, how Moses thought that he was incapable of speaking, of leading, of representing a people. He gave excuse after excuse of his incapability of leading others. But it was this virtue that Numbers 12 said Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. You see, Moses became what some scholars call the greatest manager our world has ever known because he embodied the humility to trust in the help from on high. Friends, imagine, consider with me, if we in our marriages, if we in our business, in our civics organization, in our schools, embrace more the spirit of the humility that Moses had, what God can do with our gifts for His glory. That's the call to leadership, to change our world more in the image of Jesus Christ. You know, it is easy for us to lament. And as we shared together today, many of the losses in our community, the unexpected death of friends and family lately. And all we have to do, friends, is read the newspaper or listen to the Fox tweet or the CNN news blast in the morning to be utterly and completely depressed, right? When we see the dissension, the turmoil in our land. As Manya and I were driving over this morning, the temptation is for all of us at times to just throw up our hands and say, God, is there any use? But then the choice is for us. The hope for this world is for us to proclaim that the only hope is Jesus Christ. We as the church, we must lead our nation. We must lead in a broken world and be not part of the problem, but part of the solution. Yes, we can make a difference. Yes, we can be hope. We can be light in the midst of darkness. We can be love even where there's hate. We can move the gospel and God's glory forward in our land. Friends, they need us. They need us to rise up and lead on behalf of our Lord. You see, Jesus also spoke of humility. When he said in Scripture, he said, unless we become humble like a child, we can't hope to even enter heaven. Wow. Have you ever considered that humility is central to our life of love forever? It's in realizing that we need help from on high. It's in surrendering our works to the work that Jesus did for us to give us life and victory forever. Friends, humility is the root of our faith and the strength of our church. Moses, with all of these varying leadership qualities he had, the cornerstone of his leadership was built upon his faith in God, as David Barron would say, his faith in God and his humble trust for others to help. Wow. If Moses, the great leader of faith, embodied that attribute, if Jesus, the Lord of life, as Jimmy read in our scripture today, came from heaven, our text tells us, as Paul would record it in Philippians 2, that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, that he might be exalted over death, and with love forever. John the Baptist said this, as he embodied humility. He said, Jesus must become more as I become less. Wow, what if we embodied that call on a daily basis? That we give more of our life over to God. That we get in His Word more intently. That we pray more fervently so that God would become more in our life and less of our world leading us. Friends, that's the power of humility. It was Paul who said this. Many of us are familiar with these words. Tim Tebow made them famous when he wrote them under his eyes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You hear the power of that statement by Paul? Paul said, it's not being arrogant to believe you can do great things. You can do good things for our world. Paul said, I can do all things. That would sound arrogant on the surface, but then he finishes it by saying that I can do all things through Christ. When I humble myself and trust in Him, friends, we as the church are the hope for our world. We must not give up. We must not let evil win. We must not let hate conquer. We must proclaim love in all we do and trust God as our strength. So even today, as we consider how do we humble ourselves, maybe we've never embraced life in Christ and began our journey, and we can do that even today. I often share with people when I counsel them to pray the ABC prayer, to admit that we are broken, to admit we are sinful, we are imperfect. And then we believe that Jesus is perfect, that He can conquer our brokenness, We admit our shortcomings. We believe God is perfect. And then we confess the C of the ABC. We confess Jesus as our Lord. Friends, we can begin that journey today so that we, as the church, we as those saved by His grace, can change our world for His glory forever. We need you. Will you lead with me that the world may follow our Lord? Amen. Let's respond.